Our epistle lesson today is from the book of Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now there were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their own native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Perithians, Medes, Amalites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions in Libya, bordering Cyrene, and visitors from both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own language." They were all surprised and bewildered, and some of them asked each other, "But what does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles, and he raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you may suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what is spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions and your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness. The moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular days of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Well, we have all no doubt heard the saying, "Be careful what you ask for, you may just get it." Well, it's a little sarcastic, but somewhere in all that sarcasm is just an element of truth. For some of us, having $1 million would seem like a really great thing, especially on those months when there's more month than there is money. But most of us have never had wealth like that. If we did, we would have another understanding of it. We would understand the difficulties and the pitfalls that come with it. And yes, there are many. That's why after closing my cousin's estate, I promised my kids I was going to do them a favor. I'm dying poor. But with all the sarcasm and humor put aside, the same truth holds true with our faith. We better watch out what we pray for, because we might just get it. Now, if that sounds odd or just plain wrong to you, then I invite you to study the disciples just a little bit closer. You know, here was a group of people who for 3 years had been content with their role as followers. On more than one occasion, they got into rather heated discussions about which among them was the greatest. Peter, of course, always thought it was him. But when push came to shove, in the end, they were always more content to allow Jesus to be the leader. They didn't want to have the power that he had. They wanted him to be the one with all the responsibility, especially when it came to being challenged or threatened by the local authorities. It's amazing that they never got in their arguments during those moments. They were always more than willing to step back and let Jesus take the lead. But, you know, towards the end of their time together, the end of those 3 years, things began to change, and they began to change rather quickly. After several increasingly serious confrontations, Jesus was arrested and crucified. And while there was a resurrection, just as he said there would be, things were different. From the moment they saw the resurrected Jesus, things were just never the same. Among other things, Jesus kept warning them that he couldn't stay with them this time, that he was going to be leaving, and this time it was for good. And when he left, they would have to assume total responsibility for the ministry. Now, although they liked to argue about who was the greatest, when the truth was actually told, none of them wanted that responsibility. They didn't want to hear what Jesus was saying to them. What they wanted was for him to change his mind. They wanted things the way it was before the crucifixion. They wanted him just to keep walking with them, to keep leading them, to keep telling them what to do. They didn't want to hear that he was leaving and that they would have to become the leaders. And they no doubt held on to that hope until the day that they stood on the mountain and they saw him ascending into the clouds. In that moment, it all became very, very real to them. But before he left, he told them that they were to go back to Jerusalem and they were to wait. He wouldn't leave them alone. The Holy Spirit would come and fill them and tell them what they were supposed to do next. And you know, surprise, surprise, for once in their life, they did what he said. They went back to Jerusalem. They gathered together in a room and they began to pray. Now, we don't know how long they were in that room, how many days they prayed, but they stayed together. They stayed together and they prayed that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, just as Jesus promised. But if only they had known what that meant. If only they understood the implications of it all, they probably wouldn't have asked. Because you see, the Holy Spirit actually has two different sides. The first is the one that most of us are familiar with and the one that we like. We talk about the Holy Spirit being gentle, being loving and kind, always there to show us the direction that we should go, to hold us up and to keep us safe. And when people that we know are hurting, we go to the Spirit asking for comfort and for strength and for healing and for guidance. And friends, none of that is bad. That's a good thing. In this chaotic and divisive world that we live in, it's comforting to know that the Holy Spirit is with us, that the Spirit will guide us through whatever challenge we're facing at the time. It's a good thing when we turn to the Spirit and we ask for help. But the challenge is that there's another side to the Spirit. It's a side that we seldom really talk about and we really feel very uncomfortable with. That's why I have to wonder, when the disciples actually followed Jesus' instructions, when they prayed and waited for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, were they a little taken back when what they received was not what they expected and probably never what they wanted? Yeah, up to this point, these men were really pretty passive. They'd been more than happy just to stand back and watch as Jesus did the work. And when they did speak up, when they actually tried to do the things that he did, well, it never really turned out the way they expected it. Actually, more often than not, they came off looking pretty foolish. But all of that changed very quickly when the Holy Spirit descended upon them, not as a gentle force, but as a howling, fierce wind. And if that wasn't frightening enough, as they stood there and heard the wind, they began to see flames like fire descending upon all of them, and they were not consumed. This was not the Spirit they expected. In that moment, everything changed. As Barbara Brown Taylor wrote in her book, Bread of Angels, I quote, "Before Pentecost, the disciples were like timid bubbles who fled away at the least sign of trouble. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them that day, they became fearless leaders. They healed the sick, cast out demons. They went to jail gladly, where they sang hymns until the wall fell down." Sounds exciting to us, but it's not what they expected. And I'm fairly certain it's not what they were requesting when they were praying that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. They would have preferred that gentle, loving spirit, not that wild, wild, unpredictable spirit that they received. You know, most of us would like to have a stronger faith and a growing church. But the truth is, we're uncomfortable. We're as comfortable as the disciples were when Jesus was walking among them. We like the minor roles we play. They give us an out. We can plead ignorance when we don't want to do something. We can show people our busy schedules and our lack of talent for whatever it is we're being asked to do. It's comforting to know that we have that out. But as Taylor goes on to point out, Pentecost is our reminder of this other side of God's Spirit, one that can set us on fire, transform our lives, turn the world upside down. It's not predictable. It is very risky, and it is beyond our control. I mean, just ask the disciples who one minute were sitting behind locked doors tending their own business, and the next minute they found themselves running through the streets of Jerusalem, talking to everyone they met in different languages, telling them all about the one who they knew, the one who they served, the one who they walked with, the one who they loved, the one who was sent by God's own hand. And these were words that they never had spoken before, and everyone thought they were crazy. These passive, quiet disciples were running through the streets, and people were going, "Look at them, they're drunk." This was not a calm scene. This was wild. This was chaotic. This was beyond imagination. And yet the disciples found themselves doing these things. Not because they wanted to, but because the Spirit led them to do it. And because they did, Because these timid disciples allowed the Spirit to fill them, the church was born. Lives were changed. The world was changed. And can you imagine what would happen if that same Spirit blew among us today? Or perhaps a better question would be, what happens when the Spirit comes and actually sets our souls on fire? Well, it may have been moving the time that four high school students returned from a mission trip. They had been in Denver and spent one whole evening walking the streets of Denver with a homeless man, hearing his story and asking questions. And on the way back to their small town, they felt like they were supposed to do something. They didn't know what, but they needed to do something. What they decided to do was start a feeding program. They had no money. They had no idea how to organize it. They had this plan. And so they went to the church, and the people in the church said, no. You have no money. You have no plan. You're too young. You'll lose interest. No. But these four kids wouldn't be put off. They had felt something move inside of them, and so they continued, and they started that feeding program with no money, with no long-range goals. And it wasn't long before they were feeding more than 100 adults every week. Once a week. Most of them were elderly. Many of them were raising their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, and they found this an opportunity to gather, not only to eat, but to share ideas. That program continued all the way through those four kids' high school career and beyond. It shouldn't have happened. They didn't have money. They had no long-range goals. They didn't know how to cook, especially for 100 people. The adults who had told them no, they finally realized their mistake. For when the Spirit moves, you don't say no. And so they began to help, slowly, but they began to help. And then the town was devastated by a tornado. On that particular end of town, the majority of buildings were destroyed. The next day, the adults discovered that they had the only building that was still intact, completely intact. And so they opened the doors. And in just a few weeks, a few days, they had become host to FEMA, the Disaster Relief Program, the American Red Cross, an emergency feeding program, and the local funeral home. Then they discovered that another United Methodist church in town had been destroyed. And so they called the pastor. They welcomed him in. And for a year and a half, those two congregations worked together. For a year and a half, they not only survived, they thrived. And yes, I was the pastor who was blessed to watch it all unfold. To see a church catch on fire. To witness the Holy Spirit moving. To watch people who have learned that you don't tell the Spirit no. It happens. And when it happens, miracles occur. And I am the pastor who stands before you today with a warning. The Holy Spirit is moving in this congregation. So you better watch out. The wind is blowing. The flames are growing. And it is my prayer that soon, very, very soon, we too will catch on fire. And when it happens, I will guarantee you that we will be amazed at where the Spirit leads us. All we have to do is believe. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.